And I'll be back again with another background briefing. Bye for now.
Hi, this is Kenny Kramer, the real Kramer, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA. And as Cosmo would say, giddy up!
Vital Weekly is the experimental new music show from the folks formerly behind Stan Outlaat, an independent record label located in Amsterdam with a separate store in Berlin. Tune in Vital Weekly at 1 a.m. Wednesday after Battlefield Earth.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page and copy and paste.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, August 3rd, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Rick Gates back on deck to testify in the trial of former Trump campaign chief Paul Manafort. Also on the Friday rundown, critics call the Trump administration's clean car standard reversal unconscionable. A bold experiment to eliminate grade levels, and why many college students are going hungry. Now, our top story, after parading more of Paul Manafort's extravagant purchases, including lavish suits and M-shaped flower gardens, Axios reports the former Trump campaign chairman's bookkeeper testified she did not know of any offshore accounts and that financial documents Rick Gates sent to banks in 2015 showed the company making $4 million more than she had accounted for. The Washington Post reports Rick Gates seems more than likely to testify again. We have every intention to call him as a witness, one of the prosecutors told the judge. The Trump administration wants to roll back tougher fuel efficiency standards on cars and light trucks, Mary Sherman reports.
The EPA claims this new proposal to roll back the standards through 2026 means new vehicles would cost about $2,000 less. But other studies have reached opposite conclusions. Lisa Locke with Delaware Interfaith Power and Light says beyond reducing dangerous tailpipe emissions, the original standards were saving drivers money, spurring innovation, and creating jobs.
It's really beyond our understanding because from a very practical and scientific perspective, I mean, it's really indefensible. And from the moral perspective, it's unconscionable when you think about what the implications are.
The standards were expected to create 1,900 new jobs in Delaware by the year 2030. The administration also claims freezing the fuel standard will result in fewer highway deaths because it assumes people would drive less. But opponents contest these findings. Locke says it's disappointing for Delaware and about a dozen other states that now use the higher California standard.
And that is impacting like 113 million people. It's a third of the consumers.
Meantime, advocates for new cruise control technology for freight hauling trucks say it could save money on fuel and consumer costs. But opponents of the technology believe it could put others on the road in danger. The system would allow so-called platooning, the term for freight trucks tailing each other, using wireless connections to detect leading and following vehicles. Josh Witowski with the motorcyclist advocacy group A Brotherhood Aimed Toward Education, or ABATE, says there are a lot of issues with the potential change.
There are safety concerns with the way that it presents on the roads. There are reliability concerns.
A House bill in Illinois would have allowed use of the cruise control system, but it stalled in committee this spring. And legal professionals are in western South Dakota this weekend. Ross Brown tells us they're trying to locate and help about 100 people who have outstanding warrants for protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline nearly 2 years ago.
From late 2016 to early 2017, thousands of people protested the potential environmental impacts of the pipeline at a site in southern North Dakota, resulting in 761 arrests. Jess Fuller with the Water Protector Legal Collective says most of the people with outstanding warrants are from the Dakotas, California, and New York.
So it's like been this like long process over the last 2 years, just handling all the cases, making sure that everyone has an attorney, make sure that everybody knows about their court date, make sure that everybody doesn't even have a charge in the first place, but make sure that they have all the resources that are needed and available to them.
The Legal Collective is planning outreach events today and Saturday at the Powwow Grounds in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, and on Sunday at the Powwow Grounds in Fort Yates, North Dakota.
Now to the rural North Dakota town of Hunter. An experiment underway there that educators in the area believe could revolutionize the learning process. Here's Eric Tegadoff.
Northern Cass School District is entering its second year of making education more personalized so each student can move at their own pace. Superintendent Corey Steiner says the current model of placing students in grades based on their age assumes all those kids learn in the same way, a notion he says isn't backed up by research or personal experience.
What I don't like about that is it doesn't respect the individuality of a kid, and it also puts them in a box in terms of, well, you need to learn how to read as a third grader by the end of third grade, and if you don't, you're behind. Well, what if that student's able to do math at a fourth grade level? Then we'll hold you back and make you go slower.
The new self-paced model is scheduled to be fully implemented for kindergarten through 12th grade by the fall of 2020. Steiner says members of the district traveled to schools in California, Maine, and South Dakota for research on this experiment.
And finally, Linda Barr reports that many college students will be heading back to class later this month and juggling high college costs with low-wage jobs. There's growing concern, she says, nationwide, this group doesn't have enough to eat.
More than a third of college students face food insecurity this year, according to a survey of more than 40,000 students around the country. Another survey of Utah State University students found similar levels of hunger on that campus. Gina Cornea with the group Utahns Against Hunger says those numbers indicate a problem more serious than the old starving college student stereotype.
Between tuition and books and, you know, transportation and all of those things,
that food budget becomes the thing that's the most flexible.
Utahns Against Hunger offers an online toolkit for college campuses looking to help students access healthy meals. It includes information on government food assistance and encourages establishing hunger-fighting advocacy programs on campus.
Barr tells us that work-study jobs on campus do count towards SNAP eligibility, and students who have young children may be eligible for additional benefits. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Clifford. You've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We're member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts an 80% chance of showers or thunderstorms, perhaps very heavy rain at times on Friday with a high near 78, low around 67. Saturday, again, there's an 80% chance of rain. Cloudy skies and a high near 79. Saturday night, the rain should taper off with partly cloudy skies and a low around 65. Sunday should be mostly sunny with a high near 83 and a low around 67. Tom Rover, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, Creative Community Radio.
Next, we have these reports. From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Eric Anderson reports in the Albany Times-Union that rail improvements on the works for Western Massachusetts should improve train service in the Capital Region and the Hudson Valley. There are two plans in the works. One would extend rail service from Albany to Pittsfield. That service, the Berkshire Flyer, is planning to start in 2020 on weekends. Massachusetts officially also wants to study high-speed passenger rail service between Pittsfield and Boston. State Senator Adam Hines, who represents the Pittsfield area, said, and I quote, "The study certainly will be from Pittsfield to Boston. Of course, we have strong economic and social ties to Albany as well," end quote. In Albany, there is already talk about extending that plan to New York's capital. Albany is Amtrak's ninth busiest station, and Boston's South Station is its sixth busiest. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. Bethany Bump reports in the Albany Times-Union that the Albany Medical Center opened an emergency room for kids July 31st, the Masary Family Children's Emergency Center. President and CEO of Albany Medical Center, James Barber, said his grandchild gave him the idea for the emergency room in 2010. He said, and I quote, "I saw the look of fear on my three-year-old grandchild's face. That was a learning moment," end quote. The staff are specially trained in pediatric emergency medicine at the region's only emergency room just for kids, which costs $52 million. The next closest pediatric emergency room is 90 miles away in Springfield, Massachusetts. Albany Med's emergency department has more than 16,000 visits from children each year. Larry Rollison is reporting in the Albany Times-Union that Charter Communications CEO Thomas Rutledge says his company is ahead of schedule building out its high-speed spectrum internet service in New York State to 145,000 underserved homes and businesses. The State Public Service Commission pulled its approval of a merger between Charter Communications and Time Warner on July 27th, saying the Charter did not uphold its end of the deal. PSC ordered the company to find a buyer for the Spectrum Network with 60 days to tell the PSC of its plans. The company could take the PSC to court to get a judge to reverse the decision. Rutledge told stock analysts during a July 31st conference call that Charter is prepared for a legal fight if necessary. Rutledge said, and I quote, "We believe we are in compliance with the plain reading and the build-out requirements that the state imposed on us in the merger conditions, and we have a very strong legal case and ability to defend ourselves. And it could play out over a lengthy period of time if required," end quote. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. Stockport issued a boiled water order July 31st after a water main break on County Route 25 where workers were repairing a bridge. The boiled water order is in effect for anyone in the vicinity of the break, including on West Ghent Road, the Fabiano Development, and County Route 25 from West Ghent Road south to County Route 22 or Hogsback Road. Stockport homeowners could see discolored water. Check townofstockport.weekly.com for updates. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org. All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia Counties.
We have two guests, Ellen. I'll introduce them, okay? Is that okay?
Sure.
We have Kelly Kinnean from the Chatham Synagogue and Emily Schuett, who is director of Perfect Ten. Okay, ladies, why are you here?
The Chatham Synagogue.
Which one are you?
I'm Kelly Kinnean. Hello. Yes. Hi. Yes. Thanks for having us. And I'm with the Chatham Synagogue, and as part of our social action efforts, we decided that we wanted to support Perfect 10 for all the great work that they do. And so a part of our social action committee decided that a great way to do it would be to give a tag sale, a modest effort that's going to happen this Sunday.
Great. Emily, what is Perfect 10?
Perfect 10 is an out-of-school program for the girls of Hudson, New York.
And what does that mean exactly? Oh, yeah. How old are they? When do they do it?
Sure. We are every day after school, on Saturdays, through school breaks, through summer, year-round, and we serve girls ages 8 to 18. So we have three different programs under the Perfect 10 umbrella. We have our Sprouts, who are the youngest group, and then our Buds, our middle schoolers, and our Blooms, our high schoolers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blooms. That kind of works in with the synagogue thing, right? Sorry, bad joke.
Very bad.
Well, didn't you come out with that joke? Sorry, Ellen, for blaming you. Emily, how many people in the program? Kids?
We serve over 80 girls.
At
so
a time?
This is divided by all of the age range.
Right.
So we have 25 to 30 girls in each of the three age groups.
And where are you based?
Our Sprouts have a space at Montgomery C. Smith, and then our Buds
the
and our
school.
Yeah, the middle school in Hudson, and then our Buds and our Blooms, they are up at our clubhouse on 51 North Street. It's the third floor of the Armory, the Hudson Area Library Building.
Ah. It's like magic tower up there.
The whole third.
We have the whole third floor. We are very, nice. Very grateful to be in such a sweet space, and the girls too. I mean, it's their
You're
spot.
In the turret, are you not?
Yeah, the turret is partly my office, but I share it with many girls who camp out in there to do homework, read, go on the computer to do like YouTubing. A lot of YouTubing happening in the outside hours.
So how many people like you who are employed to supervise the girls?
There are in total six of us, you know, varying part-time and full-time. Mm-hmm. And a few women who have been involved with Perfect 10 since day one. We're in our eighth year since 2010.
Yeah. I've always been a little confused by the name.
The name. So Perfect 10 was founded by Paula Foreman. So I guess we could just blame Paula. She'll take ownership of it. No, it's an aspirational name. It started with a cohort of 10 girls and she called them the Perfect 10. And then 10 promises came from that. So we have respect myself, respect others, take care of my body, make goals for my future, ask for help when I need it. So there are 10 of these. This is like our value system. And all of the girls know the promises by heart. We talk about them in everything that we do and try to make them more than just words.
So it wasn't inspired by the Olympics.
It was inspired by the Olympics. Oh, okay. That's what Paula's story is. I'll let her tell that someday on air. But she founded Perfect 10. That was the year when there were Olympics. I don't know. Where was it? In 2010, Winter Olympics were on, and she was feeling like these girls needed something aspirational to call themselves, and you know, we do a lot of explaining about our name. The girls have fully owned it. They call us P10. There's a chant, like they've embraced the name.
Oh, so it's a little bit cult-like. No, just kidding. So this event, when is it again? And how is this going to work?
It's this Sunday, August.
Oh, this Sunday.
Yeah, this Sunday, August 5th. Fortunately, there is no prediction for rain, but we do have a rain date, which is August 12th. It's going to be at the Chatham Synagogue, which is 1536 County Road 28, Valencia, New York.
What's the Chatham Synagogue doing in Valencia?
Oh, there's the question.
I'm curious too.
The Chatham Synagogue existed as an organized group for some time before they finally found the actual physical space that they could inhabit and make their own and be permanent in. It is officially it's Valencia, but it's very, very close and accessible to Old Chatham and Chatham, and it's over in that part of the world.
So Route 28 is what goes through Valencia. Is it Route 28?
You know, I don't have a real strong mental map, but it's close to the little red bridge that people know when they're trying to go to Old Chatham. It's right around the corner from the little red bridge. So if you know that area as you're driving west out of Chatham, and you drive and drive until you get to that turnoff.
I always get confused by the Chathams, Old Chatham, New Chatham.
So do I.
Young,
you know, I do too, so I just don't go there.
Well, fortunately, now there is the internet, and everything is very well marked. So,
you get that Waze. You know that. You have your Waze app, don't you, Alan?
No, it's basically Google Maps.
There you go.
On some sort of steroid. Yeah.
But when you say Valencia, I think people know where Valencia is.
Let's get back to what this event is exactly. People have to bring stuff to sell.
We do have several people who are part of the community who have reserved a table to bring their own things to sell. So they're going to be selling their own clean out of the house and good quality items. They're meant to be, you know, not trash. We want to actually make some money for Perfect 10. So that's very important, is the quality of it. We hope will be very high. So it'll be some household items, furniture, books, baked goods, some water to buy, and you know, it's a simple concept. It's a great community tag sale, and it starts at 9 and it ends at 3.
9 to 3 this Sunday.
This Sunday.
Community tag sale to benefit.
Yes.
Perfect 10.
Yes.
How does Perfect 10 sustain itself economically, other than events like this?
Well, we will be at this event, and
all
we
the girls
will
be there.
Not all of the girls. We have like a market crew. So we do a few markets throughout the year. We love Farm and Flea at Basilica. We have a big presence there, and our girls help out other vendors as well as have a table and sell their own like girl made items. So we have a crew of about 10 girls who have sort of taken it on to be like their thing. They're the market girls. And they're amazing. I mean, articulate and helpful and, really, really crushing it at market. So a few of those girls will be at the tag sale. We will also have a table there with some girl-made coloring books and DIY, like stuffed cats and whales that the girls made. We have some hand-dyed scarves that the girls made.
Whales.
Hudson, whales.
Hudson, whales. By the way, that the woman speaking right now is Emily Schuett, who's director currently of Perfect 10. And the other voice you hear is Kelly Kinnean, who is from the Chatham Synagogue, who are supporting this event. Excuse me. So representatives will be there. What other kind of events do the young women participate in locally?
So many community events. Yeah. I mean, this year, I can just think off the top of my head, we do a lot with Basilica. Our girls were in the drone choir during their drone fest, which was really cool. Of course, the Women's March, community cleanups, Pride. When there's a big Hudson happening, we make sure we're there and supporting our community that we love so much.
The girls sometimes help out at the Opera House as ushers or greeters.
Yeah, Hudson Hall. Yeah,
yeah, and they're wonderful. They're great girls.
Yeah, this past year they had a cool show there too. It was actually the second round of a series done by photographer Valerie Schaff, portraits of the girls. Mm-hmm. The idea is see me like this. So it's far from like a one-off photograph. The girls really work with Val over series of months to create a concept and how they want to be seen. And they write a poem that was also on the walls of Hudson Hall. And that was really a fun thing. And I think people really are starting to like come to recognize some of these girls in their faces as they are around town.
You do camps too.
Yes, we've been in like full summer camp mode. We're just kind of coming up for air right now. The week after school ends, we hit the ground running. We had it's like week long blocks of camps. So we had a young photographer's workshop. Those young ladies have work that's going to be shown in a gallery in Soho in the city in a few weeks that we're going to go to the opening of.
Wow.
We had our Boost Camp, which is like this hiking, swimming, fitness camp that we do right before we go away to Camp Fowler, which is this super magical camp in the Adirondacks. We're on this lake in cabins, bonfires, the whole bit. And we go with the Lower East Side Girls Club of New York City. So it's like 250 girls.
Wow.
It's a fun time. And then we have Jamal Jackson Dance and Drumming, West African Dance and Drumming. We just finished up. That's in conjunction with PS21. And this year we wrapped in the Sylvia Center. They did a whole week of cooking of West African cuisine.
I stumbled in on the West African cooking.
Yeah.
It smelled great.
It was pretty epic.
So a lot of your summer programs are off-site.
Yeah, and a lot of our after-school programs, too.
Uh-huh.
We have really like a little Perfect 10 army of amazing women in this community who offer up their space and their time and their resources to have girls come in and learn skills. And
do you have a little Perfect 10 bus?
We have a Perfect 10 van, and we are constantly trying to figure out how to maximize the 6-seat van, the 6-passenger van. So, but thankfully, we are close where a lot of things are quite walkable.
I gather that a lot of these girls don't have the support at home that you are giving them.
I think some do, some don't. The idea is really that these girls, it's open to any girl. There's no like need requirement or anything. Mm-hmm. We work very closely with the school district, with the guidance counselors and the teachers. So a lot of them will recommend certain girls who they think could benefit from a place to go and learn things and be engaged and have a sisterhood. There are girls who certainly don't get the support that many of us get growing up. I hope that Perfect 10 is that for those girls. I mean, I think it is. A lot of our girls who've been in the program for 6-7 years and continue to grow up.
Must
with
be
us.
A big clamor from girls that want to join, though, I would think.
Yeah, the it's, beginning
it sounds like a lot of fun. I want, you know.
Come on, come on in. Yeah. Yes.
We want to camp for women of a certain age.
I know. I know. It's really fun. It's a fun time. At the beginning of the school year, there is a lot of interest, you know, and then it's about like commitment. We require our girls to show up and to see their projects through. And we are very interested in their grades and academics. So they know we're going to be holding them accountable. And some girls are down for that and some aren't, you know.
If you just tune in, we're talking to Emily Schuett. And Kelly Kenyon. Kelly's from the Chatham, representing the Chatham Synagogue. And
we could be so good together. Yeah, so good together. We could be so good together. Yeah, we could. I know we could. Tell you lies. I tell you wicked lies. Tell you lies. Tell you wicked lies. Tell you about the world that we'll invent. One tin world without lament. Enterprise, expedition. Invitation and invention. Yeah, so good together. Ah, so good together.
WGXC 90.7 FM. Acre Hudson, listener-supported radio in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We're the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune into transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to health care and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting for Columbia Greene Media. The Greene County Council of the Arts has named Marlene Martin of Poughkeepsie as its new executive director. Martin replaces Kay Stammer, who left the post in June after 40 years at the council's helm. Martin assumed her duties July 9th. Martin's career in the arts spans more than 20 years. She has worked with Mind Builders Creative Arts Center, the Children's Art Carnival, Trans Art and Cultural Services, Urban Dance Collective, the Caribbean Culture Center, and While We Are Still Here. Most recently, Martin served as executive director of the Leroy Neiman Art Center for 7 years. She said, and I quote, "Most of my working life, I've been working with arts and culture. I believe in building community through arts. I think I have the ability to go and assess that. I've always preferred to work with the community on what their needs are," end quote. Among her past projects, a summer-long hip-hop concert on the theme of staying in school for the Caribbean Culture Center and formalizing the programs at the Children's Art Carnival to serve young people in schools. Martin is a recipient of the Harlem Women of Excellence Award, the Zeta Phi Beta Phi Pearls Foundation Award, and Arts Mid-Hudson Individual Artist Award. Martin wants to contribute to the council's legacy through bringing substantially in creating stable foundations for artists to work in and to present their pieces at, she said. Tasks ahead for Martin include regionalizing the council into Columbia and Schoharie counties, developing a vision for the area's cultural economy and making that economy permanent, she said. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Ariel Zangler is reporting for the Daily Freeman. 19th Congressional District candidate Democrat Antonio Delgado has been endorsed by former President Barack Obama. Delgado was one of 81 Democratic candidates nationwide to get the nod August 1st. Obama said on Twitter, and I quote, "Today I am proud to endorse such a wide and impressive array of Democratic candidates, leaders as diverse, patriotic, and big-hearted as the America they are running to represent," end quote. Delgado and Anna Kaplan, a Democrat running for state Senate in the 7th District, were the only New York candidates endorsed by the former president. Delgado of Rhinebeck is seeking to unseat first-term U.S. Representative John Faso, a Republican from Kinderhook, in the November 6 election. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Carrie Miller is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Washington Irving Senior Center on Academy Street in Catskill will be renamed the Robert C. Antonelli Washington Irving Senior Center later this month. Antonelli served as a member of the Catskill Town Board for 20 years. He died in November 2017. During his tenure, he helped acquire a $400,000 grant from the state that helped establish the center and helped remodel both Catskill Town Hall and the historic Little Red Schoolhouse in Jefferson Heights. Senior Center Administrator Michael Bidenedicta said, and I quote, "Robert Antonelli was the strongest driving force in the creation of the center. Then after it was created, he oversaw the implementation of the programs and making sure it was run properly. He has always been a public servant of the most sincere degree," end quote. Town Supervisor Doreen Davis said the idea to rename the Senior Center originated with the town board, but the project is a shared effort between the village and the town of Catskill. Catskill Village President Vincent Seeley said, and I quote, "Bob was a key contributor to moving Catskill forward. The Village of Catskill Board is forever in debt for his partnership, commitment, and strategic thinking," end quote. The Senior Center rededication ceremony will be held at 1 p.m. August 24th at the center, 15 Academy Street, Catskill. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. HudsonNews.com is reporting in 2017, Ulster County paid out nearly half of all tourism dollars spent in the Catskill region, which also includes Greene, Delaware, and Sullivan counties. County Tourism Director Rick Rimsnyder noted Ulster is a year-round destination. One attraction that has developed in recent years has fueled the tourism market, he said. He said, and I quote, "The craft beverage industry certainly has been growing in leaps and bounds in the last decade. I know it has increased from 5 or 6, 10 years ago to we have well over 30 now," end quote. He pointed to the rail system the county has been working on as well. Tourism spending in Ulster totaled $587 million last year, a 6% increase from 2016. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. The Daily Freeman is reporting organizers of the Columbia County Fair are looking for performers of all ages to enter the annual talent competition on opening day of the 178th Annual County Fair at noon on August 29th. Singers, dancers, bands, and other talent are wanted for the Columbia County's Got Talent at the Northgate stage. Juniors will perform at noon, followed by teens at 2:30 p.m. and adults at 5 p.m. Performances should be no longer than 5 minutes. The top six performers in each division will return to the stage at 7 p.m. for the final competition and award ceremony. Forms are available at the fair office or online at www.columbiafair.com. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Next, we have these reports.
Persephone is not afraid of life's indecent haste. Time to spare and time to embrace. Gentle, not right in your face. She travels light and easily. She lives a life outside of the mainstream and
she's got everything she needs. In her VW bus, Persephone. Doesn't know how to be mean. She scattered guns incessantly. She wears a heart right on her sleeve. Tonight is gonna be a big one for Persephone. Slope that is slippery. Not a brilliant effort. Poor Persephone's inert. Pity poor Persephone. She had lost her phone, her car keys, and her short-term memory. Logic's all Greek to me. Persephone. She spent all night shaking and pale. She had no wind left in her sails. But though she tried, she could hardly speak. Don't I know you from somewhere?
That was Glenn Tilbrook, the Squeeze singer, with his 2014 song Persephone from the album Happy Ending. Tilbrook is performing at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock on August 25th. The band Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah is at the Colony Cafe September 15th. Here is their song Down Is Where I Wanna Be.
The cat's has been here, some tether to the weather. I show you I don't care about no lucky string. You're out of luck, can't use your sense. You can't expect the government to lend you in. Who am I to sympathize when?
Thank you.
the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Diane Pinero Zucker reports in the Daily Freeman that an immigrants' rights organization in Seattle reports that the 8-year-old Salvadorian boy being held in federal custody at an unidentified Kingston facility is now back with his mother. Blanca Orantes Lopez was last reported in Texas before being reunited with Abel Alexander. The two had been separated in May. One of the 2,500 children separated from their parents under President Donald Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Raul R. Alvarez of the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project in Seattle would not say where they were, but wrote in an email that, and I quote, "I am happy to report that she has since been released from detention in Texas and has been reunited with her son, Abel," end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Brian Nearing reports in the Albany Times-Union that the Port of Coeymans wants to make their temporary expansion into Hudson permanent. 4 years ago, the port was allowed to temporarily expand to work on the Tappan Zee Bridge project. Last week, a subsidiary of port owner Carver Laraway asked the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the State Department of Environmental Conservation for permanent status for the riverfront complex of trestles and cranes. Some of those cranes extend more than 270 feet into the Hudson River from the port. Nearing predicts that approval for the expansion, and I quote, could make the privately owned port a more direct competitor of the publicly owned Port of Albany, which has been controlled by the state-appointed commission representing Albany and Rensselaer since the 1930s, end quote. Large cranes and trestles added 4 years ago were supposed to be removed, but now General Counsel George McHugh said August 1st they hope to keep them and lure other businesses there. Rich Hendricks, general manager of the Port of Albany, said if Laraway's request is approved, and I quote, "it will certainly benefit him up here. When I say something is going to be temporary, it stays temporary," end quote. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. The Fence Post reports that Senate leaders named 9 conferees of the Farm Bill August 1st, and Kirsten Gillibrand did not get picked. Senate Democrats put the less senior Senator Heidi Hancamp of North Dakota on the panel to work out the differences between the House and Senate versions of the Farm Bill. Hancamp has a tough re-election this fall in a state in which agriculture is particularly important to the economy, while Gillibrand represents a blue state where she is expected to win in November against Republican Chili Chiavecchi Farley. Congressperson Paul Tonko, who represents all of Albany County and a part of Rensselaer County, was named by Nancy Pelosi to the conference committee July 19th. Representative John R. Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, did not get named by Paul Ryan among Republicans on the committee that will attempt to work out the differences between the versions of H.R. 2, the Agricultural Improvement Act of 2018. Read the full story at the Fence Post. Many endorsements are being announced for the general election in November and the state primary election in September. The Civil Service Employees Association endorsed several Republican state Senate candidates, including incumbents George Amador and James Seward. MoveOn.org is backing congressional candidate Antonio Delgado, the Democrat challenging Representative John Faso, the Republican from Kinderhook, in the 19th congressional district election in New York. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a New York City Democratic candidate for Congress, has endorsed Zephyr Teachout for New York State Attorney General in the September primary. Columbia Green Media reports that Cairo Durham Elementary School's new principal, Christopher Stein, started August 1st. Stein and new assistant principal Danielle Check will host a meet and greet with parents and students at 9 a.m. August 14th in the elementary school's large cafeteria. Stein was recently a principal in Flushing, Queens, and Check has worked in the district since 2015 as an interim assistant principal at the school last year. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts an 80% chance of showers or thunderstorms, perhaps very heavy rain at times on Friday, with a high near 78, low around 67. Saturday, again, there's an 80% chance of rain. cloudy skies and a high near 79. Saturday night, the rain should taper off with partly cloudy skies and a low around 65. Sunday should be mostly sunny with a high near 83 and a low around 67. Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, Creative Community Radio.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Friday, August 3rd, Tom Rowe starts the day in Acre with the WGXC morning show from 9 to 11 a.m., and Jared Wijeskoog is back on the Sugar Shack Jukebox live in the Hudson studio after the noon news headlines until 2 o'clock. At 2 on Hudson Valley Sound, upcoming local shows will be previewed, including Wolf Eyes, Ustad Shafat Khan, Godspeed You Black Emperor, Rasputina, and Yola Tango. In the evening at 7 o'clock, Moonfruit is the guest DJ this week. Alexander Anders Pittman of Philmont will play recordings of his own work as well as music by other artists, followed by the Stoop Rock Radio Takeover with Tall Matt from 9:30 to midnight.
Tune in to Transmission Art on the radio Saturday, August 4th. At 1 a.m., the Sisters Acoustica and Espen Sommer 80 are on the Radiophrenia Redux show. Then there's Counterspin at 5 a.m., the Rain Report, and ARR Audio News afterwards, The Future of What About the Music Industry at 6 a.m., Amateur Radio Newsline and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio at 7 and 7:30 a.m., the Radio Survivor Show at 8 a.m., Donald Jump Theater at 9:05, and then Weather Radio in the morning to let you know how your weekend's starting on Wavefarm's Standing Wave Radio and WGXC. There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
Friday, August 3rd, Brad Scherer, Puppeteer, is at PS21 in Chatham at 1 p.m. Old Friends is the show starting Friday, August 3rd. At the Bridge Street Theater. It's actually a documentary by local filmmaker Peter Abedishian. The director, local director, will be there to talk about the film afterwards. 7:30 p.m. at the Bridge Street Theater, Friday, August 3rd. Parsons Dance is at the PS21 in Chatham, 8 p.m. Friday, August 3rd. Homebody performs at the Ankrum Opera House. Actually, it's a one-act comedy by Tony Kushner performed at the Ankrum Opera House, 8 p.m. Friday, August 3rd. The band Wolf Eyes has a two-night residency at the Root Cellar in Greenfield, Massachusetts, Friday, August 3rd and Saturday, August 4th. Catch Nate Young and John Olson then. Homebody... Oh, we mentioned that at the Ankrum Opera House. Paul Bergman and Lorcan O'Reilly are at High Low in Catskill Friday, August 3rd. Saturday, August 4th, there's a townwide sale in Medusa, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Wasaic Project Summer Festival is all day at the Wasaic Project. There's a Science Symposium and Environmental Monitoring Workshop from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Eldridge Research Center in Rensselaerville. Saturday, August 4th. Art Omai has a dance showing that day from 2 to 4 p.m. And there's a show called Why I Dance at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill Saturday, August 4th. That's at 7:30 p.m. Mira Betts is the dancer with that show, Why I Dance at the Bridge Street Theater. Parsons Dance are back Saturday, August 4th at PS21 in Chatham. The Homebody Show is back at the Ankrum Opera House for another night, Saturday, August 4th. And Dee and the Sunny Saps and Colton the Maker perform at High Low in Catskill, Saturday, August 4th. These are just some of the events on the WGXC community calendar. Check it out at WGXC.org to find out more and add your own event at the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day,
a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Bellas Bartok are from Western Massachusetts and perform in the area often. They have an album out in 2018 called Is Me That Monster? This is End of the World Part 2 from Bellas Bartok, who will be performing at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock on August 31st.
I've made, I take it to the grave. They turned a nun to save. All matters worse, lot of hands are.
Nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur, or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.